Many of us have had thoughts about how the city we live in could be better. For sure, those associated with the nonprofit organization called Strong Towns have, well, strong opinions about the way U.S. cities traditionally have developed and why we should perhaps take a different approach to development. Strong Towns recently caught on in one Northwest Arkansas city, and we're going to talk about that in this week's edition of Know the News. Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Porozik, your host this week of Know the News, a production of the Northwest Arkansas Democratic News Gazette newsroom. This week, I have two guests with me. First, I want to introduce Delaney Bartlett. She's the one who spearheaded an effort to start a Strong Towns group in the city of Fayetteville. Delaney, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And I want to say hello to Stacy Ryburn. As many of our readers know, he's our Fayetteville City reporter. Some might say Fayetteville guru here at the Democratic Gazette. Stacy, hello. Thanks everybody's, for coming on.
Everybody's favorite and only Fayetteville reporter. Thank you, Dave.
Exactly. Stacy has written a story for us that we'll publish this weekend about Strong Towns and its introduction to Fayetteville. So, Stacy, why don't you tell us how you found out about this and what made you decide to write about it?
Well, Strong Towns as an organization is something I've been aware of for a while. They're pretty well known in urban planning circles, and by virtue of covering Fayetteville, it's kind of impossible to not be associated with some urban planning talk. And they're a national group, national organization. They publish articles. They help local groups form their own what they call local conversations. They're not officially chapters, but they're kind of grassroots organizations for people who have varying concerns about their city, and it has to do with streets and your downtowns and walkability and all that kind of good stuff. So anyway, so I knew about them, but like Delaney, I was surprised that Fayetteville never actually had its own local group for Strong Towns. And I just happened to be sitting in on a active transportation committee meeting with the city of Fayetteville. It's kind of more or less the trails committee of the city. I was attending online, so I was lurking in the shadows, but I could see Delaney and a few other people at the meeting. And when they went around and introduced each other, she said she was with Strong Towns, and that kind of perked my ears a little bit and wanted to know a little bit more about that. And, obviously she can tell you about where they're at in that process, but, she's trying to get this group going, and it's all pretty nation at this point. But I thought it was interesting because, Strong Towns, if you say that phrase among planning enthusiasts and kind of the new urbanist crowd, they get excited about that. And so I thought it was worthy taking a look at it and just kind of see what the group, might end up doing here in Fayetteville. So.
Gotcha. Okay. Delaney, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and then about Strong Towns and why you got involved in it?
Well, I'm pretty much a native Fayettevillian. When I was young, my family moved around a lot, but we always came back to Fayetteville. So I consider it my hometown. And since I've been an adult, I've pretty much stayed here in Fayetteville. I had just had a series of, I guess you could call it mini inspirations, like steps along the way. I traveled abroad to Mexico, Ireland, and Spain. And those cities that are, very walkable, very people-scaled cities, I just loved that so much. And then I started kind of getting into the new urbanist podcasters and YouTube channels, like Not Just Bikes, and of course, Strong Towns and City Nerd. And the more I started learning about it, the more I was like, oh gosh, we really need to bring that thinking here to Fayetteville. And I knew that we had like this master plan that was supposed to like encourage biking and that sort of thing. But my final push was seeing the Strong Towns video that former council member Matt Petty was in. And in fact, during that video, he's driving down my street, literally right in front of my house. And so I was like, what? So I went online and I was absolutely shocked to find out there was not a local Strong Towns group anywhere in this area. And so I kind of put my feelers out on social media and everything of like, is anybody doing this? Like, I was just gobsmacked that we didn't already have something like this going on. And, you know, after a while, it became clear that, you know, it wasn't here, wasn't happening. And so I thought, well, I guess if we're going to make it happen, I'm going to have to do it. So here we are.
And how did you bring that together? And, you know, I understand you had your first meeting this past week.
Yes. And it's still in the process of coming together. So I just want to be clear about that. I kind of went to the website and saw what, you know, they recommend on Strong Towns for creating a local conversation group. I started a Facebook group and invited some of the people I knew who were, sort of into walkability, new urbanism, that sort of thing. And then several of them, you know, just invited even more people. And very quickly, the group grew to like 90 members, which I know like doesn't seem like a lot, but for just a local Facebook group that wasn't getting the word out in any other way, it was a lot. I was like, wow, cool. So, I'm just sort of trying to get the word out. And we scheduled sort of an informal meeting at Crisis Brewing. And I got to meet some of the people who are more sort of professionals in the urban planning and, you know, land use, transportation sectors. And so that was really good. And next we're going to be scheduling, when we can figure out a good time, a real like official meeting, hopefully sometime within this month.
Billy, what would you tell us about what you're trying to accomplish?
Well, I want to make Fayetteville, the overarching goal is, of course, to make Fayetteville more walkable, bikeable, and equitable. If you aren't dependent as much on having to have a vehicle to participate in just life, then that opens it up for all kinds of people, you know, poor people, disabled people, younger people, older people. I can't remember who said it, but living in a car dependent city or area, the car is no longer something that gives you freedom. It's more like an extremely expensive prosthetic. And, you know, I grew up pretty poor. And so I know what it's like when you have a car breakdown and it's going to cost, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars to fix your car. That is crushing. You know, that can absolutely just ruin everything because you have to have a car to get to work, to get your kids to school, to, you know, go to the grocery store, whatever you need to do, you have to have a car to do it. And that puts such an immense burden on people. And that's not even considering the health effects of living somewhere where just getting out and walking or riding a bike is dangerous, impossible, you know. So there's just a whole lot of reasons why we need to scale back on the car dependency. I want to be clear that I'm not trying to like ban cars or tell people they're not allowed to drive cars. I just want to help structure our city in such a way that you don't have to have a car in order to go about your daily life.
Yeah. Well, that's a tall task.
Yes. And so yeah. I know we already have a lot of sort of planning, you know, committees and master plans and, you know, a lot of things like this, you know, sort of aiming towards that very large goal. And so my thinking with the Small Towns group, which we call it Fayetteville Strong, you can find us on Facebook, under Fayetteville Strong, is to get down to the grassroots because I have more of a grassroots organizing background. And so I want to bring people together to say, okay, in your neighborhood, on your street, where you live, what are the things that you need to make your streets safer for kids to play in, to make it easier to walk to the store or to work or what have you, and then work on those sort of micro local projects together.
Yeah. Have you engaged yet with anyone from the city on this?
Yes, I have made some connections with people from the Active Transportation Advisory Committee. Like, as he mentioned, I was at that meeting and have kind of spoken a little bit with a couple of those people and, you know, hoping to work together. And, you know, hopefully when we start to have our actual, you know, real meetings, if you want to call it that, I'd like to have some of them come in and sort of give presentations about, you know, what the committee is and what they're doing and how to participate as citizens and, you know, just make more of a integration between on the ground, just regular residents of Fayetteville, and then the people who are in charge of creating and implementing these plans.
Okay. On the same note, I was going to jump in here real quick, Dave. Sure. So for those who are interested, if people want to learn a little bit more about what Strong Towns is and how that might apply to Fayetteville, there is a pretty popular video that's circulating around online. You can find it on YouTube. You can search Strong Towns Fayetteville, and it's about parking downtown, which is a fun topic that people love to talk about here in Fayetteville. But the video itself is just about how a few years ago Fayetteville did away with parking minimums for businesses and the effect of that. And like Delaney was saying, it's got former council member Matthew Petty talking about how there are certain buildings within downtown that wouldn't exist without doing away with these parking minimum requirements. So if you're interested, you can just search for that. It's about a 15-minute, 20-minute or so long video. So I was going to put that out there. And then also, Delaney, the question I was going to ask, you know, I went out to Crisis Brewing on Wednesday when we had our initial get together, trying to kind of get this Strong Towns group off the ground. And, you know, I know from just covering the city that there is a very enthusiastic group of what you could maybe consider to be new urbanists or planning enthusiasts, dorks, perhaps, that really love this kind of stuff. And, you know, some of them were there at the meeting. But the thing that I glean from what you're talking about doing is that, you know, participation in this group wouldn't just be limited to planning dorks, people who are really into this kind of stuff. I mean, there are all kinds of other people in Fayetteville, and I see them at City Hall frequently, who maybe don't subscribe to this kind of thought, who, you know, don't get excited about doing away with parking minimums or, you know, enjoy living in their more suburban, you know, areas. But the impression I've gotten from this group is that you're kind of looking for people of all different kind of perspectives, and then you focus on an issue. And then when you take a specific issue and then start brainstorming ideas, that's where you start getting this what you call a local conversation. So I was hoping you could just talk a little bit about, you know, the participation you're hoping to get and just sort of the approach to the public engagement piece of this group.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of people who are sort of more professionals, and actual professionals, of course. And that's great. I mean, that's really awesome. But again, I have a little bit of a background in community organizing. And I know that, you know, it's good to have people who have education and expertise. And I'm not discounting that whatsoever. But when you have a lot of like planning and, you know, big master plans without the input from the granular level, where the rubber literally hits the road, you can begin to see maybe mission drift. You can have blind spots, you know, communities can get overlooked. And so that's where I want to come in and sort of grow it from the bottom up to meet, you know, the people up here who are making all these decisions and grand plans to say, okay, well, if we really want to make it a more walkable and bikeable city, you know, we need to talk to the people who walk and bike you know, not just for recreation, and nothing against biking for recreation or cyclists who enjoy just riding the trails for fun, but there are people who either want to or outright need to use alternate forms of transportation besides a car. They need to walk, they need to bike to get to work, to go to the grocery store, etc. And those are the people that we need to engage with to say, okay, what is it you need? You know, where do you typically walk to? What are the barriers of getting from place to place? And I mean, I can see some of them just myself, but you know, I don't want to speak for anyone else. I can only, you know, bring my own perspective. And so that's why I want to get just regular people, just people who live in Fayetteville, and whether those people might be living in Fayetteville, you know, without an actual home, or they're, you know, homeowners in a neighborhood somewhere, you know, whatever. You know, I want to get their input and to say like, okay, what is it that you need where you're at, and how can we all as a group work together to then work with these planners and other people who are, you know, passionate about new urbanism to make those things actually happen.
Delaney, I understand there are over 120 such, over 120 strong towns groups throughout the country. Are there any that you know of that, you know, have had a particularly significant impact on the cities in which they're located, and any that you, you know, draw inspiration from?
Well, I did get a report from the Maine Strong Towns when I, you know, signed up for this, that had sort of three communities and their projects and their successes that I found really interesting and of course inspirational. But honestly, the most inspiring group of this type was a local group that a few years ago on South Washington did a Slow Streets project. And I was able to connect with someone from that group of people. And it was just a temporary thing, but it was a really cool project to like slow traffic to make it safer for pedestrians on South Washington. And like South Washington, that's my hood. Like when I was a teenager, I lived in Morgan Manor. Later on, in my 20s, when my son was really little, I lived at the fourplex on the corner of 13th and South Washington. And, you know, my son played with other local kids on South Washington. And so I, you know, have kind of a special place in my heart for that neighborhood. And so the fact that they were able to come together as a community and go through the whole process of getting the Slow Streets project approved and, you know, making it happen, I found that really inspiring.
Yeah. And what Delaney's talking about is there still is a Slow Streets program, it was going pretty strong during the pandemic. It was organized by a different group. At the time they were called Bike and WA, but they would partner with different cities, and then neighborhoods could then, you know, kind of submit or request a project to have their streets not shut down, but at least have signs posted telling cars, you know, go super slow. And the idea was that streets can function as something other than just a place for cars to zoom through, and that kids could maybe play, or you could toss a ball, or you could ride a bike or a scooter or a skateboard. And that, I think that's the kind of thing that Strong Towns really does push for, these kind of smaller neighborhood oriented initiatives. It could be a Slow Streets thing, or it could be the city of Fayetteville also has a tactical urbanism program, which is really just a makeshift like speed control kind of project where you can fill out an application with the city, and so they know what you're doing, and you can do something as simple as paint a crosswalk on your street, or you can put some planters around, or do some things like that that would have the effect of slowing down traffic and making it more pedestrian friendly. So these are some of the little kind of smaller neighborhood initiated kind of projects that Strong Towns typically does advocate for, that Fayetteville's been participating in for a few years now. So,
yeah. And I'm really hoping that this group will be able to take those tools that are already, you know, lying on the workbench, the Slow Streets projects, and the tactical urbanism projects and pick them up. So I want to like get that word out to more people that, hey, these are things that you can do here in the city of Fayetteville. And maybe we can sort of help each other to brainstorm, you know, how, you know, what do we want to do? How do we want to do it? How do we go through the process? And just be more of a support group and a networking and organizing group to empower each neighborhood group to do what they think is best for their community.
What's next for the group?
Next, I want to have an actual, you know, for real, like meeting. you know, do a little bit of a presentation about, you know, what is Strong Towns and, you know, introduce each other, find out where people live, make those connections, and start to, you know, set our agendas going forward.
You'll still have beer at that meeting, right?
Well,
we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard because I like the informality of meeting at like a cafe or a brewery or whatever, but they're so loud.
Yeah. You can get distracted pretty easily in a scenario like that.
Yeah. And there are people who, you know, might not be comfortable being around drinking. There might be minors. You know, we want to make it as inclusive as possible. And so, you know, and neurodivergent people too, those kind of really busy, loud, you know, lots of people, that can be hard to deal with. So, you know, I'm trying to make it a really inclusive type of format. So I'm kind of leaning towards the library, but, you know, we'll see.
Sounds like you got the right approach.
Great. Well, any other questions for Delaney, Stacey?
I'm square, you know, just read my story. It'll be out on Sunday or Monday, one of those days, and you can read all about it. And there's going to be links to the Facebook group and the video that we talked about earlier and more information about Strong Towns. All the things will be in the story.
Well, Delaney, thanks so much for your time this morning. Thanks really appreciate it. Great to meet you and good luck with everything.
Thanks so much.
As Stacey said, catch his story in the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette this weekend or online at nwaonline.com. We're going to wrap up here in just a minute, but first I want to tell you about some of the other great stories we have coming your way this weekend. Back in January, law enforcement officials served a search warrant at Wings of Peace Ministry, a halfway house for parolees and probationers in Benton County. Thomas Hartman, founder and director of Wings of Peace, and a convicted sex offender, is now facing felony charges of sexual assault in the third degree following the raid. How did Wings of Peace get started, and what did the state know about it and Hartman at the time? Reporter Ron Wood would take us on a deep dive into that story. And a company based in Boulder, Colorado, plans to build a wind farm in eastern Carroll County. Some local residents aren't too thrilled with the proposal. Doug Thompson will have that story. Benton County officials intend to apply for a grant that would help with starting up a special mental health court. Tracy Neal has that story for us. A new program and facility in Rogers aims to help with the demand for nurses in Northwest Arkansas. The first cohort for Harding University's Accelerated Bachelor of Science in Nursing program began this year, and a new learning lab just opened for them. Garrett Moore has that story. I should mention Garrett's also the author of our Let's Eat column, which comes out every Friday. This week's column includes information about a New Orleans fast casual health food restaurant coming to Fayetteville next year. And cruising on down to the River Valley, reporter Thomas Asente will update us on the U.S. Marshals Museum, which is still on track to open this summer. Thomas also will have a story about the new board president at the Literacy Council of Western Arkansas, which aims to promote literacy and improve the quality of life for adult learners in the community through basic education and personalized instruction. Don't forget, we have the best sports coverage as well, whether your interest is high school, college, or pro sports. The Razorback men's basketball team continues its pursuit of a national title in the second round of the NCAA tournament this weekend, and our sports and photography staff will be all over it. All of this and more is available to our subscribers on our tablet and cell phone apps and on our websites, nwaonline.com and rivervalleygazette.com. To those of you who are already subscribers, thank you so much for your support of local journalism. If you're not a subscriber, well, you should be. We even have a special offer for our podcast listeners. Just visit nwaonline.com/podcast23 to get started. Or you can call us at 479-684-5509. And that website again is nwaonline.com/podcast23. Please check back with us next Friday for a new edition of the Know the News podcast. Thanks for listening. Again, I'm Dave Perosik, your podcast host this week. Have a great weekend. And until next Friday, so long.